Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Let's start with last night's matchup. Philadelphia 18, Atlanta 12. Everybody who watched, zero. After 7 months without an NFL game, we still have to wait a few more days for an NFL game. I mean, yes, I know the Falcons and the Eagles did play last night, but I don't know anybody who enjoyed that game at all. And I don't think anybody anywhere really wants to count that as an actual NFL game. I mentioned it last night on Twitter. Nothing ever lives up to the hype, but last night's game didn't even enter the hype's area code. That didn't feel like the first Thursday night game of the year. That felt like a late season Thursday night game where both teams were all banged up, playing on short weeks, and were not prepared for a football game. Except in this case, both these teams had a half a year to get ready. And it was still horrible. It's been a long time since I've looked as forward to anything as I did that game last night, and an even longer time since I've been as miserable as I was about anything. I mean, how bad was that? Philadelphia runs a trick play that felt like it was a troll job of the Patriots, and the game was still unwatchable. That didn't break the internet. I wanted to break my remote control when I saw that play. Again, exactly what the hell happened? How did this team, which was so electric last year, turn in something like that? I mean, I know the offense is going to be better with Carson Wentz, but it was Nick Foles who took them to the Super Bowl and was the MVP. And that game wasn't boring. That game wasn't unwatchable, but this was. By the time we finally got to the fourth quarter, I didn't want a running clock. I would have paid any amount of money to take any time I could off that clock because it felt like time was being taken off my life. I mean, seriously, I cannot stress this enough. We're kicking off the NFL season in Philadelphia. They're unveiling a Super Bowl banner. They run a trick play troll job on the Patriots, and it was still boring, still horrible. Better yet, Philadelphia unveiled a Super Bowl banner, ran a trick play that felt like a great troll job, and they had a goal line stand, and the game still sucked. I mean, honestly, now that that game's over, I wish the weather delay had been longer than it was. That was way better than the game itself. Remember former Eagle, Michael Kendricks? He pled guilty to insider trading. He still might have had a better day than the Eagles' offense. That offense was so explosive last year, and it had 0 yards in the first quarter. Zero for a quarter. Nick Foles, 19 of 34, 117 yards. No touchdowns for the entire game. In today's NFL, a quarterback passing for 100 yards is not a game, it's a quarter. But it wasn't just a bad first quarter. Philadelphia was outgained by Julio Jones in the first half. That's right, outgained by one guy in the first half. And Sark doesn't even know how to use this guy, and he still outgained them in the first half. I know a win is a win, and Philadelphia certainly is not going to be looking to hand that one back to Atlanta. Although I would if I could, if I were them. But that was still rough to watch. And by the way, let's not sleep on the Falcons. They definitely played a role in this slow-motion car crash. I'll get to them a little bit later on. But I'm telling you, man, that game was boring. Boring. It was so bad, Philadelphia fans were booing the team. Philly fan was booing the team on the same night that they unveiled the Super Bowl banner. So if you thought that winning a Super Bowl would change Philadelphia fan, you were dead wrong about that. Winning a Super Bowl did not change Philly fan. It just made him more Philly fan than ever. These were the same people who were happily eating horse crap in honor of their team. And then they were booing them minutes after a Super Bowl banner was unveiled. Most Philly fan thing ever. Never change, Philly fan. Never, ever change. And you know what I'm going to say next, right? Saying something sucks is not a take. Never will be. But that game sucked. And as far as I'm concerned, it never happened. Because I've already hit reset, and I'm gearing up for the opening of the NFL season on Sunday. That was not the opening of the NFL season last night. Honestly, I don't even know what that is. I have never been as fired up for a game as I was last night, and I don't ever remember being more miserable during an NFL game than I was last night. What was that? Kurt Warner is my guest. Kurt, good morning. Nice to have you back. How are you, Kurt?
I'm good, Romy. How are you? Football season starting, everything good, huh?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Well, or so I thought, Kurt, until I saw last night's game. Why don't we start right there? Kurt, the Falcons. Man, they had their share of issues in the red zone last year. We figured that was going to change in the offseason. Then, Kurt, they go 1-for-5 in the red zone again last night. I know you saw that. What were you thinking as you watched them struggle in the red zone once again?
Well, I mean, you know, it's disappointing. I mean, they have so much talent, and you saw right from the beginning of the game, just walking the ball up and down the field. And then they just seem to be so out of sorts when they get down there. I mean, I'm watching Matt Ryan, and he just looks so indecisive when he gets down there on what he's going to do with the football and where he's going to go with the football. And, I mean, I think it just dumbfounds you that you get down there, and, you know, I tweeted out that it appeared, I know at least on the first couple plays, that, you know, Philly was doing the exact same thing on all four of those last plays. They were playing a kind of a seven across zone kind of combination coverage. You know, Atlanta kept sending guys to, you know, to different zones and kind of right into coverage. You know, and again, it just kind of amazes you that with all that talent and you get down there and you just struggle to be able to create ways to get guys open. And you see it, and you see Matt Ryan being indecisive and then him kind of forcing things to Julio Jones when he gets down there, even when Julio's not open, just kind of hoping somebody will make a play for him as opposed to good, solid concepts that are going to create somebody open on each and every play.
We're talking to Kurt Warner. So, Kurt, bottom line, when you see that much talent on that offense, how much of the struggle then is about coaching, and then how much of that is about execution?
Well, I mean, I think there's different angles to go. I mean, you know, we'll go back to Kyle Shanahan because when he was there, I mean, their offense was phenomenal. You know, one of the best we've ever seen. And what I love so much about what Kyle did was he had a great knack for understanding the strengths of his different players and always putting them in a position to play to their strengths. And I know it sounds like an easy thing, but when you're moving guys like Julio Jones to every different position on the football field and having to create plays for other guys that aren't as talented as him to play to their strengths every time, it's not always an easy thing to do. And so really good offense coordinators are very unique. I think Mike Martz was a guy that was so good at knowing the strengths of the different guys and always putting them in positions to play to that. And Kyle was another one of those guys. So you can design or have the exact same play in your playbook from one year to another year and ask different guys or different pieces to fit into those places. Still a great play, but not nearly as effective when you don't have the right guy playing the right role in that particular play. And to be able to design a whole playbook with different pieces and making sure each play is playing to the strength of your players is a very, very difficult thing to do and to manage in the course of, you know, a game where you have, you know, 30 seconds, 45 seconds, and you're trying to make sure you get not only the right play called, but the right people in the right places. It's not nearly as easy as it sounds. And so not everybody can just step in and be that good. You know, some guys can just create great plays, and they just place anybody in there, and now it falls to the players to have to be able to run the nuances of that play, to understand the details of that play. And that's the other thing that I see from 2 years ago to where the Falcons are now is I don't see them nearly as detail-oriented with the way that they run routes. And so once again, you could have the exact same play, but teaching the nuances of exactly how you're going to attack a corner or exactly the depth that you want to run based on what other guys are doing or the angle in which you are running a particular route, those things are so vital in a game where everybody's talented and everybody's good and you're playing against a good defense that it's not just, hey, run down there and run inside. That's not always the best way to do things and not always the way that you're going to separate yourself from good defenses. And I see at times a lack of details and the nuances with this Atlanta team that wasn't the case a couple years ago when they were so, so dynamic offensively.
It's Friday in September, and you know what that means. A full slate of college football and NFL coming your way in a matter of hours. Do you want to take it to the next level? Then you've got to get down. And no better place to get down than with MyBookie. Trust me, they are the best bet this season. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online, and their mobile site is very easy to navigate. Lay down some cash, win big right now. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. This is why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. And they have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code ROME to activate that offer. A dollar for dollar match on your deposit? That is some serious ROI before you even hit the digital window. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. Do not forget to use the promo code ROME when creating your account to get that bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. He is an NFL Network analyst and an NFL Hall of Famer. Kurt Warner is my guest. All right, Kurt, let me change up, and I appreciate your thoughts on that a lot. Let me change up on you completely. When you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers situation, and you've been in a lot of locker rooms, you understand the dynamic as well as anybody, how surprised were you by the Steelers players and what they were saying about Le'Veon Bell publicly on Wednesday?
I mean, I think like most players, extremely surprised that it became public. And I think the thing that maybe even surprised me more than just that somebody said it was how many guys said it. You know, that, you know, you might have one guy that gets frustrated and has been answering a lot of questions and basically, you know, kind of goes rogue a little bit and kind of goes, man, you know, blah, 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 and says all that stuff about him. But very seldom are you going to see numerous guys stand up and say the same type of thing. And, you know, so it was really, really surprising for me that that was kind of laid out in the media. And I understand the frustration of a player. I understand one of your best players not there for week one when you feel like you can be a championship type team. I understand that frustration. But, you know, that's something you have to deal with in-house. That's something that you reach out to Le'Veon personally and go, hey, man, we need you here. You know, show up for us. Or if you're going to say something in the media, yeah, I thought Michael Irvin did a great job on our show yesterday just saying, if you're going to say something in the media, say, hey, Pittsburgh Steelers, why aren't we getting our guy done so he's here to help us win a championship? Not why isn't Le'Veon here and accepting the offer. Players need to stick together and fight for players. You know, if you're going to say something in the media, you know, just make a plea to your teammate. Hey, man, Le'Veon, if you're out there listening, get in here so we can win this thing and put this thing together, and we're going to do everything we can to help you get the contract you deserve. But, you know, it was just really surprising on how many guys, you know, I don't know the right word, but kind of attacked Le'Veon for not being there, because all players are about other players getting what they're due and understand the vitality of you know, contracts in the NFL and the physicality, and you only have so much time, you know, to make your money, that you have to take advantage of that when you have that opportunity. So, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of players were really surprised at how they came out and approached this from player to player.
Kurt Warner joins us. All right, speaking of contracts, Kurt, Aaron Rodgers recently signed a very nice extension, and you've made the point that Aaron is the most talented quarterback who has ever been in the NFL. As one incredibly talented quarterback looking at another, what do you see in Aaron that makes you feel that way?
Well, I mean, just his ability to, you know, throw the football effortlessly. I mean, you know, it's amazing because, you know, I work with a lot of young quarterbacks, and you know, and they're always going, okay, you know, I want to model my game after, you know, guys, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, you know, the great ones. And, you know, I oftentimes have to tell these guys, okay, you can't watch Aaron Rodgers and try to emulate him. Don't do it, because you'll never make it, because he is a rare specimen. You know, there's times that I see film where he's got both feet off the ground, like he's jumping to throw it, and he still makes a 30-yard laser throw to the sideline. And it's just like, you can't do that. No one else can do that. So don't try to do it. It is amazing to just watch what he's able to do with his body and his arm, just from a strict talent standpoint, that I've just never seen it before. I've never seen anything like it before. I don't know if we'll ever see anything like it again. And those are the things that I see and just say, this guy is a one-of-a-kind talent. You know, he may not run as fast as a Michael Vick, may not be able to throw it as far as some guys, but just his arm talent and ability to make throws from different platforms, you know, moving his body in different ways is just something that I've never seen before.
Kurt Warner joins us. You know, Kurt, watching you on Twitter, I want to ask you about something. Yesterday was the anniversary of your son Zach suffering a traumatic brain injury. When you think about the fact that he was lucky to live and see him today, what kind of thoughts and emotions do you have?
I'm grateful. You know, I'm blessed in so many different ways, but you know, it's amazing. You know, we get so caught up in this world with little things, and you know, having perspective on life is a very hard thing, especially you know when you're a guy that's played in the NFL and has made millions of dollars and had success. Sometimes it's easy to get our mind and our eyes off of, you know, what's really important and the details of life and the perspective that we need to have. And, you know, having a son like Zach, who I've seen struggle daily, I've seen have to overcome things, I've never seen a kid that has greater perspective. I've never seen a person that brings more joy to more people by just being him and the simplicity of just loving and appreciating other people. And, you know, I'm so grateful that we've had 29 years with him when, as you mentioned, they said he was going to be lucky to live. But every day he teaches me something. Every day he forces me to step back and go, okay, why am I worried about that? You know, why am I chasing after that instead of just focusing on the moment, focusing on the position that I have, the amazing people that I have around me, and making sure that I gain a little better perspective every single day of my life. But he has just been a joy, and I think he's given all of us in our family a different kind of outlook on life, and we all need more people like that. And it's crazy because, you know, so many people, when they look at Zach or individuals like Zach that have a disability, they see the disability. And I think the blessing of having him in my life every day is that I don't see the disabilities. I see what he brings to the table. I see the abilities. I see the perspective and the joy and the happiness. And I say, I want to be more like that. But, you know, in our world, we're so in tune to everyone's disabilities, to what everyone does wrong, or, you know, the one thing that we can attack on every person, instead of just enjoying and celebrating the different things that people give us and the different accomplishments and the different gifts that they're able to share with us every day. And I think that's the thing more than anything else that I get from Zach and why I feel so blessed to have that incredible young man in my life.
What a powerful message. What a good, good reminder. He's an NFL Network analyst, a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, class of 2017, a Super Bowl champ and a Super Bowl MVP. Kurt Warner joining us. Kurt, thank you so much. Great to have you on the show, and I always appreciate our conversations.
You bet. Anytime, man. I look forward to catching up as the season goes along.
Jeff Luno is my guest. Jeff, it is so good to have you on. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. Thanks for having me on. It is a big series this weekend. It's been a fun year. We obviously have our work cut out for us. Oakland is right behind us, but we're hoping to create some distance sometime between now and the end of the month and repeat as division champs. That's the goal right now.
Excellent. All right. I want to talk to you about those things. Let me first ask you, Jeff, you beat Minnesota on Wednesday night to cap off a sweep, and you had a 7-3 homestand. You've won 12 of 15. So when you look at the way your team is playing right now, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Well, it's big for us. First of all, we haven't played as well at home as we have on the road, and we haven't been hitting as well at home. But this last homestand, we got a lot of offensive production from a lot of guys, including some surprising guys that not many fans have heard of, like Tyler White. Obviously, Alex Bregman is putting his name in the conversation for potential MVP of the American League with the season he's having. But we're also getting guys back that have been hurt. A lot of August, and we had Carlos Correa missing for most of July and August, and Altuve was out, and Springer was out. Those guys are back, and they're starting to feel it again. So it's just nice to have our whole lineup back, Brian McCann, et cetera, and have our whole team healthy once again.
Jeff Luno joining us. Let me get you to go back to Bregman for 1 minute. He had a homer and 5 RBI in the win on Wednesday. He's been on base in 33 straight games. He's absolutely raking. I know you had high expectations for him when you drafted him, but did you expect him to be this good this quickly?
He really exceeded what were very high expectations. We took him number 2 in the draft overall. On our board, he was number 1. Because he played at LSU, an advanced college program, we thought he'd be maybe 2 years in the minors. He really lasted 1. And then these guys that come up, you know, usually expect that it's going to take them a year or two to get in the swing of things. Alex had some struggles early, his first 30 or 40 at-bats, but then he really clicked, and he's just one of those guys that works hard to make himself better every day. And I think we're still seeing him improve. And even though he's as good as he is, I think he has a chance to be even better. And you got to remember, he was a shortstop in college. We moved him to third base, and he's playing really good defensive third base, even though he hadn't played that position much before.
It really is a good point. Now, you're in Boston, of course, for that series against the Red Sox. And you know how a series like that is going to get hyped up as a potential playoff preview? Is that how it feels to you, or is it just another series? Or, frankly, is it a little more than that?
Well, I think it's more than that. Our bench coach from last year, Alex Cora, is over there. J.D. Martinez, who we drafted and developed and got to the big leagues, he's over there. There's a lot of connections between these two teams, and you know, we met them last year in the division series. We also happened to go up there last year at the end of the season and play them right before the division series. So it seems like us being in Boston in September seems to be a habit, and us, you know, hopefully us meeting them again in the postseason will happen this year. So yeah, we're anticipating a big crowd. We're anticipating a hotly contested series, and probably both managers wondering how much of their arsenal they want to show now in case they want to save something for the playoffs.
Yeah, I love both those managers, honestly. And this is a huge, huge A.J. Hinch house. In your mind, what is it about him that makes him so special as a manager and makes him such a good fit for this group of players?
Well, he gets along with all kinds of players. You know, he was a top draft pick, a top prospect. He was on the Olympic team. He made it to the big leagues quickly. But he also was that 25th, 26th man on the roster that would get sent up and down and would have to struggle for playing time. So he empathizes with all the different players. He's been in the front office. He knows what it's like to be a GM. He knows what it's like to be a farm director. And he's a smart guy. He's got a psychology degree from Stanford. So, you know, he knows what buttons to push at the right time. And he works his ass off. So I think that combination makes him a perfect manager for the Houston Astros.
Jeff Luhnow joining us. We're talking Astros baseball. You know, it's been a little bit over a year now. You made that trade for Justin Verlander. As you look back on that, what were the emotions like? What were the thoughts like in those final few hours and minutes before that deal was consummated?
Well, it was a high-wire act because we really weren't sure if it was going to happen. We felt good that it had a chance to happen, but it took Jim Crane deciding that we were going to invest more money in the deal at the very last minute and us deciding to add an additional prospect. And once we did those two things, the deal got done pretty quickly. But even after we decided the deal was done with the Detroit Tigers, Justin had to accept it. So for about 20, 30 minutes there leading up to the midnight deadline, we were, you know, hanging around waiting to see if Justin was going to ultimately say yes, which he did, thank goodness, with a few minutes to spare.
Jeff, you could tell me better, but it would seem to me, given what he's meant to your team last season and what he's done already this year, it seems like that deal has already paid for itself. What do you make of what he's done this season?
You know, we knew that we were getting a guy who had a great track record, but he's in his mid-30s, and you never know how much that's going to continue, but he is such a fierce competitor. He had a tremendous September for us. He was the MVP of the ALCS. But he carried it on this year. I mean, his goal was to win a World Series, obviously, but he's not stopping. So he's still one of the most dominant pitchers in the American League. His name is in the conversation for Cy Young. Every day he goes out there, you know your team's going to have a chance to compete, and he's going to have a chance to go 110 pitches and pitch a complete game. So that's the type of guy we want on the mound during a playoff game. And you know, hopefully between him and Cole and Keuchel and Morton and the rest of the guys, you know, we've got enough horses out there that we'll be able to compete with anybody.
Jeff Luhnow joining us for a few more moments. Big series coming up, the Astros and the Red Sox. Now, Jeff, you signed that extension, as I mentioned, earlier this summer, and in a way, I think it gives you a good opportunity to take a look back and see where that team and that organization was when you took over in 2011. The team lost 106 games in 2011. So at that point, how would you describe the state of the Major League roster and the farm system?
Well, we call it 30-30. I mean, 30-30 is a good thing if you're a player, but if you're an organization and your team is ranked 30th in the big leagues and your farm system is ranked 30th in the minor leagues, you know, you have your work cut out for yourself. And fortunately, we had a strategy. We focused on building the infrastructure, building the minor leagues, and developing a pipeline of prospects that would ultimately keep us competitive for a long period of time. And Jim Crane, our owner, deserves a lot of credit because he stuck by the plan even when it got a little dicey and it was a little hot in the kitchen. But you know, he believed in it. He stuck by it. We communicated it to all of our stakeholders. And ultimately, you know, the patience paid off. In 2015, we made the wild card, beat the Yankees, lost the Royals, and then 2017 won the World Series. So, and we feel like our window is open for a while right now. We've got a lot of good young players still coming up. Framber Valdez and Josh James and Tyler White and other guys are still coming up from the minors contributing. And you know, Kyle Tucker's waiting in the wings, and we've got other guys behind him, too.
And so, final thought, it's got to be amazing to see a plan like that because, I mean, everybody's got one, right? But to see a plan like that come to fruition and to win a world championship must be amazing. But from an organizational and front office standpoint, the challenge is to rebuild, get yourself in that position. But once you do that, how does the challenge and the approach change when you're defending that world championship?
Yeah, the challenge is that anything that you do differently that works, other teams are going to figure it out pretty quickly and copy it. So you have to constantly be innovating. You have to constantly be figuring out ways to squeak out an advantage versus the other teams. And you're no longer picking first in the draft. You're now picking 28th or 30th. And so you've got to work that much harder. You have to have good scouts, good coaches, good front office people all working together. And it definitely gets harder once you win, but you know, that's our challenge ahead of us, and we're looking forward to it.
The Jungle is a different show. The Jungle is a unique show for a lot of different reasons, and that's by design. I've always tried to bring something different to the space since I started. It's always been my goal to be different. That's what I figured out early on. You know, why you? How are you going to get on the radio? Why would anybody give you a show? How are you going to do this? Be different. Do something that had not been done before. Come at it a different way. Now, I'm not the only one or thing that is unique about this show. I'm not the only one or thing that makes The Jungle unique. And whether you're a clone or not, whether you're proud to call yourself that, or you hate anybody who goes with that gloss, there's no denying the clones. There's no denying their impact, not only on this show, but really on the genre. I mean, for better or worse, the clones do have a massive interactive presence on this show. And again, some of you love that and some of you hate that. But all of you have to know the clones do have legitimate real estate here. Now, you've heard me mention the show within the show. And what I'm referring to is the show that's popping off on Twitter while I do the show, the simulcast. Because every single day for 3 hours, clones from coast to coast and in Canada will tweet this show relentlessly. Look at TweetDeck. Even if it doesn't get read on the air, it's being read by each other because they all follow each other. So they might not get the big audience if they don't make it to air, but they still have an audience, each other. And what I'm telling you is, I don't think any other show has that going on while they're on the air. So these clones are getting to know each other. They're communicating with each other. They're meeting up. And then on top of that, they're hosting podcasts. They're throwing tailgates. They're going to smack off watch parties. They're getting tatted together. And it's because of the show. And they're connecting because of the show. And they're connecting on social. And the dude getting the most attention right now is a cat from Wisco named 12wood. No disrespect, Stucknut. Nut got here first. Nut's the Jungle historian. You'll always be the OG, Steve. You know that. But for the past year or so, 12wood has been hosting a Periscope show where he sticks his gigantic head in front of his live streaming camera and he calls other clones on speakerphone and he talks to them and about the show. In other words, they're all congregating and celebrating the show. And they do this every Friday night for 3 hours. And people do watch and they comment. Now, before you kill this dude for being some loser without a life, trust me when I tell you, he has booked his ass off. And this thing does have production value. This guy's come up and turned guests like Jeff Perlman, Rich Ackerman, Jay Stu, Yogi Roth, Ben Gulliver, Ben Mesrick, Cruz Pedregon. I mean, lots and lots of legitimate guests, legitimate radio guests or TV guests, and he's done it for his show. And for months, he's been coming after me. In a good way, but he's been relentless. You even hear callers calling this show and say, "War the Woodscopes," or they tag their email with that. It's because 12wood, the host of that show, is telling them to do it, and they do. And to me, it's as impressive as it is annoying. But I respect it. He's working an angle. I know what it's like to chase guests, especially on the way up. He's working a hustle, he's working his angle, which brings me back to that 9-minute video, which I did my best not to watch. 9 minutes of my life that I'll never get back. 15 different clones, all on tape, all shouting out to me to do the Woodscopes tonight. These guys were not saying, "Hey, Rome, can you just do this?" They were saying, Rome, can you just do it? And can you do it this Friday? It's like a montage of desperate begging. They all rambled on. Nobody kept it tight. It wasn't fast moving. There's some weird subplot storyline in it that makes no sense whatsoever. It's utterly pointless. But then again, you can't knock the hustle. The kid's working it. I respect it. Because I did the same thing on the way up when I was running down big name guests. Now, I didn't send those guests 9-minute begging videos. And there's no way I can run the entire thing right here. I could barely watch the entire thing in the privacy of my own home. But there are parts of it that are better than other parts of it. Parts of it that are actually good. So I'm not going to subject you to the same 9 minutes that I was subjected to, but I will cut this thing down. This is the 9-minute video, in part, where they shout out to me to get me to do this guy's show once and for all.
Hey, what's up, Jimmy? Lef here. Dude, you got to get on the Wood Scopes on 9/7. It's going to be so good for your brand. Listen, I get it. You're on CBS Sports Network. Perfect HD quality every day. But dude, this is Periscope. Standard definition, things pausing and buffering the whole time. And yeah, so what? You're on satellite radio and you sound perfect every single day. But dude, this is the Wood Scopes. It's completely inaudible. The host is ill-prepared and staggers through all of his questions. Dude, so what? You've interviewed like Aaron Rodgers and Bob Costas on your podcast. Dude, he's interviewed Aaron Slam in the Nooch. I mean, dude, you got to get on the show. 25 unique viewers guaranteed. It's going to be great for your brand, Romy. Don't do it.
Mr. Jimmy Rome, it's Tyler Lemington here. I hope you do not mind the hot tub. I had to get into full brand mode for this video. This is a request for me and the guys more than it is for 12 Wood. You see, 12 Wood's always bombarding us with his ideas, and he wants us to promote the show and War of the Wood Scopes. Like, the guy is just a sales machine. And I kind of respect it, but at this point, we need a little bit of help from you, Rome. Go on the show for like 30 seconds, just be like, yo, what's up, 12 Wood? Rack me, I'm out. Or go on there and be like, wow, this show is like the dumbest thing I've seen since a guy showed up to a party with a sweatpants. You give him a little boost, get him off our ass to promote a show and to make videos like this one. And then we could all go on with our day. And then, you know, one day you'll go on there, you'll do your 20-minute interview, and 12 Wood will ride off into the sunset like he always wanted to.
What's going on, Jim? It's Rick in Buffalo. Kindly asking you to go on the Wood Scopes so this dude will finally shut up about it. We're all sick of his self-glossing and self-promotion. And who knows, maybe if you do the show, 12 Wood will magically disappear. And that way we all win. Thanks for your consideration, Jim. I'm out.
All you had to do was ask Rick to ask me, and the answer would have been yes. That was on video. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you saw the videos. They were great. Lef walking and doing what he did. Tyler from the hot tub and Rick in Buffalo saying, get him off our ass. Just do it, Rome. All telling me to do the same thing. Do it so 12 Wood will finally shut the hell up and stop bothering them to bother me. Thing is, it worked. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it tonight. That's right. I'm going on. I'm putting off that Friday night adult beverage. I'm delaying the weekend. I am going on a clone Periscope show. I'm not looking for any credit. I'm not looking for a pat on the back. I want to do it. And the reason I want to do it is because this guy earned it. The reason I want to do it also is so I'm never subjected to 9 minutes of video crap ever again. If you want to see me on the Wood Scopes tonight, I'm jumping on right when that thing starts up. 10:05 Eastern, 9:05 Central, 7:05 Pacific. If you have no idea what the hell Periscope is or how to watch, just go to Twitter. Follow at 12 Wood. Spell it out. T-W-E-L-V-E Wood. At 12 Wood. I'm sure this guy's going to be up promoting it every 2 seconds. I know he'll have a link up for a live stream. Follow him for all that information. Because I've already done enough for his brand. But it's free. It's live. 10:05 Eastern. 9:05 Central. 7:05 Pacific. You win, Wood. You win. I'm doing the show. Good job. Good effort. Looking forward to it. See you tonight on the Woodscopes. Pass it along. Push it through Twitter. Let everybody know. I'm showing up tonight. We're doing it. We're all going to hang out for a bit. 7:05 Pacific, 10:05 Eastern. Finally, it's going down. Let's get it. Bob Melvin. Bob, it is so good to have you back. Good morning. How are you?
Morning, Jim. I'm good. And yourself?
I'm doing great. Great to talk to you, Bob, always. Now, let me start right here. You beat the Yankees 8-2 on Wednesday night. You take that series against New York. But, Bob, that was the 20th straight day with a game and no break. So starting right there, how proud are you of the guys and the resilience that they were able to close out that series the way they did?
Yeah, very. I mean, that was a rough stretch. You know, you're talking about the middle of August and to get 20 games in a row. And then, you know, the competition we were playing, we had the Astros a couple times. We had Seattle for four games. We had the Yankees there at the end. So, you know, it was probably, looking at it, the toughest stretch we had this year. Guys came through it well. A lot of guys played every single day through it and didn't want a day off. So pretty rewarding to finish up as strong as we did.
Yeah, let me stay right there for a minute, because you have to play the games that are in front of you. I know you're not going to complain, but that's not just a matter of surviving that 20-game stretch. You played 600 baseball during that stretch. What's it say about the grit and the toughness of your team?
Well, you're exactly right. They probably get a little grittier as the season goes along. I mean, you know, we weren't in this position, certainly at the All-Star break, and then went on a run that the confidence just kept building and continues to. So this time of year where guys usually look like they're a little bit tired at times, and it's anything but with our group. You know, we do get a few off days here in the next 10 days or so, which should help us out some, but they've showed no sign of slowing down at all.
We are talking to A's manager Bob Melvin. You know, Bob, when you and I spoke in spring training, I got the sense that you knew that you had a group that could surprise some people and that started to turn at the end of last season. But what maybe have you learned about this team over the course of this season that maybe you didn't know back in spring training?
Well, that they think they thought they were better than everybody else thought we were. And, you know, the one thing I really thought is we had a chance to get better as the season went along, and that's been the case. You know, some of the younger guys maturing even further and, you know, coming into their own is already, you know, a year into the big leagues as star players. Couple that with the front office, you know, reinforcing the bullpen and bringing important players into us, which always gives, you know, the rest of the group a great feeling that everybody's trying. And, you know, we're where we are right now. And with the upgrades in the bullpen, you know, if we have a lead later on in the game, we can be a pretty tough team to beat.
You know, it's amazing. When you look at the way, there have been so many injuries, and you don't need me to tell you that, but you've had your share of challenges within. For example, you used 9 pitchers on Saturday, 8 more on Tuesday, and you had relief pitcher Liam Hendricks start certain games. So how are you approaching this as a manager and using all those arms and mixing and matching?
Well, you know, when you get to September, you know, you can have as many guys as you want, up to 40. So, you know, we knew with the injuries to the starting pitchers that we were trying to shorten the games. Now, we've had a pretty good run with some of our starters who have done a nice job for us, but now we're trying to, you know, augment that with the opener, with Hendricks has done that a couple times, and just trying to do the best we can with every particular game. So, you know, it's kind of new to us. The first time it didn't work out so great. The second time, I think everybody was a little bit more acclimated to it, and we, you know, we did some things a little bit differently, but we're just trying to run the best lineup out there and best pitching complement every game, and like I said, if we get deeper into the game and we have a lead, you know, we definitely have the reinforcements at the back end of the bullpen, which is the strength of our team.
You know, listen, I mean, philosophically, a lot of this is because of the result of injuries and not necessarily by choice, but it's also the way a lot of managers are approaching pressure games and postseason games. So how much has the use of bullpen evolved over the years, and especially in recent years?
It's come full circle. I mean, it's amazing how you know, typically, what, 4 or 5 years ago, is recent as that. You know, you're looking for your starters to get the top guys, 7-8 innings to give your bullpen a little bit of a rest, that typically you only have a couple guys at the back end that finish games for you. And now it seems like if you have a starter out there in the 6th inning, he's done more than his job. So, you know, we look at it as if we can get 5 out of our starter, he can go out there for the 6th. Boy, we're in pretty good shape the way things have turned out for us.
We're talking to Bob Melvin. You know, we talked about the pitching, but you look at a guy like Chris Davis, and he's currently leading the majors, Bob, in home runs. He's 2nd in the American League in RBI, yet he does not get a lot of national attention. Why do you think that is?
You know, he's just one of those guys that doesn't want a whole lot of attention. And, you know, maybe the fact that we're on the West Coast and our games are a little bit later, but he's fine with it. I mean, he's really the last guy that wants a spotlight on him. He just wants to be there for his team and play every day and contribute for his guys. So, you know, there's certain guys that are out there that are looking for the spotlight. He is not one of those guys, but the production and his numbers would suggest he should be one of those guys. And you know, as far as him within our group, we know how important he is to us.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, he may not want this attention, but I got to give it to him for a minute. I mean, when you put up the power numbers that he's putting up in an A's uniform, you're going to get mentioned with some pretty big names in baseball history. Now he's in the record books with Mark McGwire and Jimmy Fox, and he's getting mentioned as an MVP candidate. And you just touched on it. The guys who need to know. What does he mean to your team?
He's that guy in the middle of the lineup that's there every day that hits 40 home runs, knocks in 100 runs. And when you have one of those guys, it just makes everybody better. I mean, you look at the history of this organization. We have a history of power hitters in this organization, and he and Jimmy Fox are the only guys that have hit 40 home runs 3 years in a row. He's as consistent as you could be as far as the power goes. Our ballpark is not conducive to home runs, especially at night, and he continues to perform in the fashion that he has, and like I said, with consistency that's unmatched.
A's manager Bob Melvin joining us for a few more moments. So you and I have hit on starting pitching. We've hit on the bullpen, the bats, but also you've made a big improvement defensively up the middle, shortstop, second base. I mean, not necessarily an area, Bob, that fans really think about, but how big of a difference does that make?
It's night and day for us because that hasn't been the case in previous years here. And really, when Matt Olson and Matt Chapman came up last year and did their thing on the corners, we started to turn. And, you know, we get consistent performances from Marcus Semien and Jed Lowrie in the middle of the diamond. And then you get, you know, off the charts defensive metrics from our corner guys, which just, you know, have turned us into it was a bad defensive team for the last 3 years to one of the better defensive teams, especially in the infield. And can't say enough about the hard work that guys like Jed and Marcus put in, and then bringing in, like I said, the talent on the corners. The guys on the corners are gold glove guys waiting to happen. So our defense has completely taken a 180 this year compared to the last couple years.
Let me just take one step back before we go. I mean, the fact of the matter is this has not been easy. It's been a challenging year. There have been so many injuries. There were so many points, it seems to me, during the season where it might have been easy to fold and say, hey, we're ahead of schedule. 2019 was supposed to be our year. Maybe it's just not meant to be right now. But you never gave into that. You never allowed that. How do you explain that this team is just grinding the way it has and that you are where you are late in the year despite all those injuries?
Yeah, just a lot of belief in themselves and, you know, a good mix of guys. You know, everybody thinks we're young, but, you know, with the additions in the bullpen and, you know, guys like KD and Jed and Stephen Piscotty's been absolutely terrific for us in the outfield. And then you bring in the younger guys that came up in our system, the Chad Pinders and the Matt Olsons and the Matt Chapmans and these guys. And you know, so it's a great mix of veteran guys and younger guys that really want to be Oakland A's that came up in our system. So, you know, it's a group that just keeps fighting, and no matter how many injuries we have, we don't use that as an excuse. And the bottom line is they expect to go out there and win when we take the field every night.
It's such an easy group to pull for when you consider the way they handle their business and what they've been through. Second in the AL West, currently holding on to that wild card spot, and you've got Texas at Oakland this evening. Their manager, Bob Melvin, my guest. Bob, I appreciate you so much. Great to have you back on the show. I always look forward to the conversation, and really good to get caught up.
Thanks, Jim.
Alvin, are you ready to do what you do every single Friday?
Now, dude, I know it's only a 4-day work week, but I want it to sound like a 5-day week. Roll it.
Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Jim Rome Show. What's going on? Hope you had a great weekend. Nice to be with you. I am the Pimp in the Box. Hope you had an awesome long holiday weekend. Again, it's great to be here. Good, good show. Let's not waste any time. Let me start here. Quote, no way. No f***ing way.
We made a decision together.
Chicago won that trade. How do I know they won the Khalil Mack trade? Because they have Khalil Mack.
You have to ask Reggie.
Raider fans are angry.
Use my app.
But you know who's not? Phillip Rivers. Patrick Mahomes.
And Case Keenum.
I'm talking to Case Keenum. How happy are you to see that guy go to Chicago?
I wasn't mad when I heard the news.
Right.
Just put it that way.
Touchdown, Iris!
Coach him up, Jimbo.
Improvement will lead to
time
success.
Time to win the big one. Jimmy, get ready or get run because you are not delivering. It's not just the fans, but it's former All
All-Americans.
Why do you continually try to get me to say something?
The interview was not about him protecting his players.
So quit asking.
What that interview was about? Guy being a jerk. Guy being an asshole. Spending some time with Patrick Peterson. Is it frustrating that opposing teams are not challenging you?
It is frustrating. You know, at times I see it as respect. I wish I wasn't so good.
My guest is Brian Dawkins.
Growing up, why would I want to play defense? Let everybody play offense and let's have the score be 100-100 because obviously that's what they want.
Driving back to where we live, and the kid looks at me and he goes, hey, Dad, you're smarter than I thought you were. I'm like, well, this is going to be good. This is going to be really good.
What?
I just threw my hands up in the air like, oh, thank you, God, because only a crazy person would keep throwing this ball to me.
Dave Roberts.
Romy, how you doing, man? You got to pull up that Kurt Bavaga.
I sent a limousine to get the to make sure he was in the motherfucking lineup because I kicked that
Hey, I appreciate you. The Jungle Karma, man, this is huge for us.
You know, say what you want about Hefty. He might be your guy. You might love him. But I don't think there's any debating this. My man's not good on Twitter.
Hefty.
He's just not good on Twitter.
You know, toughen up.
Your rap's terrible, bro. Tyron Woodley is my guest.
Connor talking, Connor sounding, UK arena selling out. Talking kid, that's going to change as well.
Dude, the week that was in a four-day week. Dude, I'm streaming this.
Morons. Starting now, I want a weekend that was. How's that grab you, kid? We are joined by Chase Elliott. Can a driver wear his own throwback gear?
Just can't get into wearing my own stuff. That's not me. So, hey, whatever floats your boat.
Holy crap. That was awesome. Are you watching on CBS Sports Network? That was so good, fellas. You got to run that back. Check out Chael back there.
I haven't thought about it.
So everything was cool. Everything was chill. Business is business. Everything was fine. Right up until Lev did not show up. Everything changed.
My mom died. I went to a funeral and came to camp the next day.
He us. End quote. Trevor Price is my guest.
Remember, offensive linemen are like circus elephants. What one does, the other one does. That's just the way it is, man.
Did you just call them circus elephants?
They just all go in a line the same way. Ask any good offensive line coach. Circus elephant.
You will never see a head for the rest of your life bigger than his, son.
Fight. Dan.
Anthony, if you're listening, screw you, buddy.
Kyle Freeland is my guest. Kyle, really nice to have you on. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, what's up? I'm glad I got through. I thought Hawk was going to yell at me.
My man. Robert Klemko is my guest. That majestic rat tail.
I think I was 10 years old when that picture was taken. I had a lot of hang time on that rat tail. I think my mom has it in a cigar box.
The day that you beat California Chrome at Santa Anita.
Here's the race we've been waiting for.
I was telling California Chrome, big shot, that your horse was going to beat him that day.
Shared belief has him.
I said, you can run a nice second today.
Just exuding class.
We've seen it again. Falls the quarterback.
They run a trick play troll job on the Patriots, and it was still boring. I wish the weather delay had been longer than it was. Kurt Warner.
It's disappointing. I mean, they have so much talent, and then they just seem to be so out of sorts when they get down there. I mean, I'm watching Matt Ryan, and he's... looks so indecisive.
Bob Melvin.
It's a lot of belief in themselves. It's a great mix of veteran guys and younger guys that really want to be Oakland A's that came up in our system.
This is the Woodscopes. It's completely inaudible. The host is ill-prepared. And
I'm showing up tonight. We're all going to hang out for a bit.
It's like the dumbest thing I've seen since a guy showed up to a party with a sweatpants.
7:05 Pacific.
Maybe if you do the show, 12 Wood will magically disappear.
Finally, it's going down. Let's get it.
Get ready.
That game was ass. Hashtag anal sis.
I know, Romy, but you can't spell analysis without anal. R-P-O.
Babacqua.
Absolutely, brother. Appreciate you, man.
You have to ask Reggie.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Always a pleasure being on the show, man.
Could not be any worse than he is right now.
I'm good, Romy. How are you?
Hilariously accurate.
There they go again!
Don't you let that spin out and run too long.
I hadn't thought about it.
Woodscopes.
Quit asking.
Control room hat.
Not anal sis.
Outro. Good night now!
Like a boss, Alvin DeLauro, every single Friday, most consistent segment in the history of sports talk radio. Rex in Albuquerque. Hey, Rex.
Hey, Romy. TGIF, the grind includes French fries. And I'm not talking about McDonald's. I want Burger King. Don't come at me with Wendy's or Culver's or anybody else. But, hey, I enjoyed watching Matty Ice going through his progressions and getting sacked. My progressions last night included nodding off after the first play, asking for a medically induced coma in the second quarter, and then praying for someone to go Old Yeller on me in the fourth. That game was ass. Hashtag anal sis.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Hey, Rex. I believe the word you were reaching for was analysis, not analysis. Rex, I'm going to go with the fact and trust that you just misspoke. That was a misspeak. The word that you're looking for is analysis. Analysis, Rex. Edmonton, Tyler. Tyler, what's up?
Romy, what's up? How's it going?
Dude, good job on that video. Well done.
Thanks, man. Well, I just actually wanted to apologize for that video, man. We can just pretend that didn't happen. since you're going on the Woodscopes, there are a couple things that you need to think about this afternoon. You'll need some good walk-up music, so I'm thinking maybe try a track from Alberta's Finest. Of course, that's Nickelback, Romy. And I'd say to get them to make you some badass Sandstorm remix, but I'm pretty sure those guys are still using Stucknut's website as a soundboard. You know, I also want to send happy travels to everyone attending Kyle and Green Bay's Clone Stock. You know, I'm sure Benny will be there. He'll be there with his fishing coveralls, pockets overflowing with cans of Lucky Lagers so he doesn't have to pitch $20 for the kegs Kyle bought. And then you'll have Caleb, fully equipped with bologna sandwiches and a small crane to assist in holding him up for his keg stand. And then there's Kyle, the supposed brains of the operation. Hopefully my man didn't get kegs of black ice and sell all you guys on the Heineken just so he can make a couple bucks on the bottom end for his car repairs. I want a war 12-wood being the first guy to ever get run by Rome outside of the show. Good luck again tonight, Romy. I'm out.
Nice job, Tyler. Good looking out, bro. Tyler in Edmonton, rock him. Bodie, what's up, Bubba?
Hey, man. I just want to tell you, man, you're making a great decision going on that kid's show. And I know why, Bubba. You love the Grinders. And this kid has definitely grinded. Out of all these years, man, all these years you've been on here, I mean, this kid just went after you, Bubba. And like the Bible says, you know, you go to King's table long enough, a crumb's about, you know, you'll get a crumb every now and then. And Bubba, I just want to explain something. I say I love you, it's because I know what kind of industry you're in. You're the king of that industry. And there's a lot of knives that'll come out. I've seen clones that stuck knives in your back. But Bubba, I just want to tell you, that's why I love you. I want you to know that you're loved out here, loved by me. And I'll never turn my back, and you ain't got to worry, Bubba. I know there's a lot of snakes, and Bubba, I love you, and I'll see you too. 12 Wood, I love you. I'll see you tonight. Bye.
Nice job, Bodie. I'll see you too. I love you too, Bubba.
Good night now!